Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I'm going to start a new series today called Tis the Season. So I want you to join in with me. Tis the season to be... Very good, very good. Okay, now that's what we think of when we say that, but I want to get you to do one other thing for me. I'm going to just say the phrase, and I want you to turn to the person next to you and fill in the blank with some other word. What are you feeling right now? Tis the season to be. Tell your neighbor what you would fill in that blank. You can do that at home too, by the way. All right, tis the season. Did any of you say tis the season to be stressed? That's not usually the word that we would use, or no, it's a word that we would feel. It's not always a word that we would let people know that we're feeling. But in this series, we're going to look at some words that we may not often use at this season, but that many of us are feeling during this season. And today, we're going to talk about 'tis the season to be overwhelmed. Just to put all that in perspective, have you ever noticed... And you can bring this up on the screen, that the word stressed spelled backwards is desserts. Did you know that? The word stressed spelled backward is desserts. That explains so much of why people are stressed between Thanksgiving and New Year's. It's all the desserts that we have to eat. If only it were that simple. There's a lot of reasons that folks feel stress at this time of the year and the folks feel overwhelmed. And so it's not a typical Christmas series, but today we're going to begin by looking at the fact that for a lot of us today, 'tis the season to feel overwhelmed. Well, in any previous year, I would have started a sermon talking about being overwhelmed. I would have started and talked about our crazy hectic American lives, and I would have talked about our fast-paced society, and I would have talked about our busyness. Because really, as Americans, we are obsessed with fast. We ship items using Federal Express. And we had a telephone carrier called Sprint. And we balance our checkbooks with Quicken. And we even diet with Slim Fast. And some weirdos out there even have bathing suits called Speedos. And that's definitely what I would have talked about in the past. But this year is different. And some folks say their lives have really slowed down. Some folks say there's less places to go. There are less things to do, less social expectations, less social opportunities. And that's been one of the positive side effects of this year is that it has allowed some of us to slow down. But then I talked to a lot of people this week who said, you know what? My life has not slowed down at all. Now, it did for a few months back in the spring, but my goodness, I'm as busy as I've ever been. I heard a lot of people say that to me this week. I'm as busy as I've ever been. Nothing has slowed down for me. And especially if you are a healthcare worker or if you are a teacher, nothing has slowed down for you. In fact, this year is busier and crazier than anything has ever been before. And boy, you folks are in my thoughts and in my prayers constantly. But whether or not your life has slowed down this year, or whether you're as busy as you have ever been, we all have plates that we have to keep spinning. And spinning plates can be overwhelming. Watch this video with me for just a minute.
Good!
get to the end of your day and you've done all the things that you're supposed to do and you just go, yeah. I want you to post pictures of yourself on Facebook or Instagram doing that for me this week. Just, man, you spun all your plates. You did it. We all have all kinds of plates that we have to spin, that we have to keep going and keep in the air. And I want to name some of those for us. Many of us have a plate that's called children. And we've got a lot of work to do and a lot of things to do that keep us busy, because our kids are our first priority in our life. And as a good parent, our job is that we're supposed to create well-rounded children. And that means we keep them as active as we can and involved in as many things as we possibly can. And we have schoolwork and we have sports and we have dance and we have whatever else it is that is involved with us being a really good parent. And so that's one of the plates that many of us are trying to keep spinning. Another one is just our family plate. We have family that we love, that we have responsibility for, that we take care of, and we want to spend quantity time and we want to spend quality time. And so we try to get together for meals and we get our calendars out and we get everything synced so that we all can be at the right places at the right times. And you know that you're supposed to spend some time with your husband and wife. And so you try to plan a date night in there somewhere. And so we keep that plate spinning. We have our work plate. And we're supposed to take work seriously, and we have jobs to do and tasks to do and deadlines to meet and bosses to please and fellow workers to get along with and emails and texts to deal with. And so we keep that plate spinning. And some of you have a school plate that you're spinning, and that's a plate that keeps you busy. But this year it's been even different because you're having to do some of that online. We have our personal plate. We know that to be a good, healthy person, we're supposed to have some time to do some things we like. And so we try to build in times for our hobbies to recharge our batteries. We have our friend plate, and that's been maybe even harder to keep spinning this year. Try to keep up with your friends. As Christians, we have a spiritual plate that we want to keep spinning, that we want to have the discipline of a quiet time. We want to make the church a priority. We want to be involved in ministry. And then at this time of the year, we add to that the holiday plate. And I don't mean all those desserts that you're going to be eating, but just everything that goes along with this season of the year and the holidays and how busy it can get. And especially for the ladies in our families, this is such a busy time of year. You've got gifts to buy, and usually our ladies take the lead and carry the burden for making sure all the things that are supposed to happen at the holidays happen. And so that's what I would have talked about in any previous year when I talked about being overwhelmed. 'Tis the season to be overwhelmed. But this year, there's one plate that is looming over them all. To use what we saw in that video, this year, besides all the plates, we've got some meat cleavers that we're trying to keep in the air. That plate is called COVID, and it just looms over every other plate that we have responsibility for. And really, it is very overwhelming in a subtle but specific way. Because we still do all of the things that we are supposed to do in any given day. We still have the responsibilities that we're supposed to fulfill. We still have the daily task that we have to get done. But what makes it overwhelming this year is it's familiar things that we still have to do, but there's nothing familiar about the way that we have to do them. It's different. It just requires more effort. It requires more energy. It requires more thought. And I put out on Facebook this week a question, just to get some feedback on busyness or not busyness and on COVID. And some folks said some really insightful things. Several folks just identify this reality that, yeah, I may be busier or I may not be busier. But whether that's true or not, just during this year, things are just harder. It just requires more effort. It requires more thought. The most routine things, I have to think about them more than I've ever had to think about them before. And it affects our mental capacity. It affects our emotions. It affects our well-being. It can be overwhelming. Andy Johnson gave me a great analogy for this. Several months ago, he mentioned this to me. He said, what Americans are experiencing this year is what missionaries experience when they go on the field. And when they enter another culture and they begin to live in that culture. And he said, it is very overwhelming. And what's strange about it is, he said, you're doing all of the normal things that you would do if you were in the States. You're still eating. You're still buying food. You're still finding a doctor. You're still getting your car fixed. You're just doing all the normal things that you have to do. But because it's in a different place and in a different culture, it just requires more thought and it is overwhelming. And he said, Americans are experiencing culture shock, just like missionaries experience. And I thought that's a great analogy, that we're doing familiar things, but it just requires more work. And as I was preparing this sermon, I had an experience. And when the experience happened, my first reaction was frustration. Then it hit me. Ken, this is exactly what you're preparing to preach about. For me, it was going to the bank this week. Now, I like going to the bank. That is one of the weekly routines that I have that I like. I like going to the bank. And I like knowing my bankers. That's always been really important to me. I like knowing the people who are behind the counter. And I like that I know them and that they know me and they kind of know my routine. And that's just always been really important to me. I do not like going through the drive-thru at the bank. I like going inside. And so that's been harder this year because my bank has closed. That particular branch is not open anymore. It's closed it. And all of those ladies who I knew so well for years, they've been scattered out at different locations. And now I go to a new location and I have new people that don't know me and I don't know them and they don't know my routine. And that's been frustrating for me. Then this week I went to the bank and I got out of the truck. I started walking to the door. Once again, forgot my mask. Had to go back to the truck, get my mask. As I'm shutting the door and walking toward the building, a lady comes out of the building. I mean, she comes all the way out almost to my truck and catches me and says, you can't come inside. We've closed. We're not allowing people in. You have to go through the drive-thru. I turned around and I was very frustrated. And you may say, Ken, there's something wrong with you if that's what frustrated you. But it did. It frustrated me because I had all these tasks that I needed to accomplish. A lot of them at the bank that day were related to Christmas coming up, and I had several different things I had to do. And so now I just have to rethink my whole process, and I have to get things in a different order because I got to go through a drive through and talk to a speaker. And I don't like talking to speakers. I like talking to people. And so I got to talk to a speaker and I got to explain what I want. And then it takes longer to happen. And then I've got to double check it all when it gets back to me. And I just drove off and I was frustrated. And again, I may need a counselor. And you may think, Ken, you're weird. That got you overwhelmed? But I'm just being honest with you, it did. And I would bet that every one of you could think of one or two or five or 10 things right now that are normal routine things for you, but they just require so much more work and energy and thought. And when you start adding them all up, it can really be overwhelming. 'Tis the season to be overwhelmed. But what I want to say to you this morning is, it's always been the season to be overwhelmed. When Jesus came into the world, the folks who were involved were overwhelmed. Mary was overwhelmed. She's pregnant. How did this happen? She had never been with a man. What are people going to say? What is Joseph going to think? An angel comes and tells her that it's by the Holy Spirit. She was overwhelmed. Joseph was overwhelmed. Mary's pregnant? How did this happen? I'm going to have to divorce her. What are people going to think? And then an angel comes and says, no, you're going to marry her. This is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph was overwhelmed. The birth was overwhelming. I mean, it happened in a barn. It happened in a stable. It happened in a cave. He was born in a manger, and we sing about it, and we make it sound so quaint and so fitting. But they had to have been overwhelmed, because when she's 9 months pregnant, the government makes them travel hundreds of miles. And so in her 9th month, she has to ride a donkey and sleep out in tents going to another city because the government has told them they've got to do it. And then they get there and there's not any place to stay. Can you imagine how overwhelmed Joseph is as he's running through Bethlehem, going from door to door, trying to find a place that his wife, who is going into labor, can lay down. And so the only place he ends up finding is a barn. I don't know if you've been in a barn lately. I have a barn and I have 3 steers that I'm feeding out right now. And they love to get up underneath the shed and spend a lot of time there and do a lot of business there. And I'm telling you, it's not pretty. And I feed them hay out of a trough. And I'm telling you, I would not want to lay a baby there. Can you imagine how overwhelmed they must have been? And again, we look back on it and we sing songs about it. But when Jesus came into the world, it was a season to be overwhelmed. And Bethlehem was overwhelmed, because within a short period of time, Herod comes in and he kills every single baby boy under 2 years old. It was a season to be overwhelmed. But in another wonderful way, it was and is a season to be overwhelmed. The shepherds were overwhelmed. They're by their campfire at night. The sheep are all down. And suddenly, an angel appears to them and announces the birth of the Son of David and the Son of God, the one they have waited for hundreds and thousands of years. And then the whole heavens open up and the glory of God is shown, and a host of angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men." And the shepherds were overwhelmed. And the wise men were overwhelmed. In a far-off country, they had read the scriptures and knew the promises and were looking for the signs, and a star appeared in the heavens, unlike any star they had known, and they followed it, and it brought them to the place where the King of the universe lay. And they gave him gifts, and they worshiped him, and they were overwhelmed. Simeon and Anna were overwhelmed. As an old man and an old woman, they spent every single day in the temple of God, worshiping and praying and looking for the one, the Messiah. And their waiting was over, and Mary and Joseph brought a baby into the temple to be dedicated, and the Holy Spirit let Anna and Simeon know that their waiting was over, and what they had longed for and hoped for was here. And they held the baby and they praised God, and they were overwhelmed. 'Tis the season to be overwhelmed. God came down right in the middle of overwhelmed. And I love that about our God. It's one of the major truths of the Christmas story, that God just gets right down in the middle of our overwhelmed lives. He gets right down in the dirt and the mud and the filth with us. See, he did not consider the reality of who he was and where he was to be held on to, but as something to give up. And he came down into our reality. And he came down into your reality. Your overwhelmed reality. And later, when he grew to be a man, he said to anyone who was overwhelmed, "Come, come to me. All who are weary, who are burdened, could I add overwhelmed? And I'll give you rest." So Jesus came into the season of overwhelmed. He came for people just like you. Came right into the middle of lives just like yours. And then he invites you to come. To come to him. To seek him. To look for him. In the middle of being overwhelmed. And the beautiful irony of it all is that when you seek him in the middle of overwhelmed and you find him, you too will be overwhelmed. And so I invite you this morning to lay your burden down. Would you sing that with me and look for God, seek for God, right in the middle of where you are?